necessarily won't come then. All right. Luke 11. We studied to overcome for 100 years, and I'm not sure we overcame,
but we're moving on.
We're moving on, unless somebody wants to talk about it anymore. Verse 22. Well, let's start in verse 21. When a strong man armed keepeth his palace, or temple, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger man than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armor wherein he trusted, and he divideth the spoils. So this is what we're talking about, that the destruction or the defeat of Satan had to happen in order that the evil one in us can be dealt with. Everybody understand that?
So he's the first strong man and Jesus the second?
Yeah. All right. Let's talk about armor. It's panoplia in the Greek. It means the full armor of either protection or attack. Now, what's the evil one's armor? What is Satan's armor first?
Fear.
No, what is his protection, his armor in terms of?
Lies.
His armor is the fruit of the fall. Self-realization. Jesus, in every attempt to cause Christ to be self-realized, was defeated. That's how he defeated Satan, because Satan's only armor is self-realization.
Maybe more like a weapon rather than armor.
Well, can be either one.
I'm
talking about his armor being how the stronger man overcame him. That's every one of his temptations was towards self-realization. Self-something. And in each case, he didn't side with man, he sided with God. Now, that has to be, when we continue with Christ in his temptation, we must do the same. Otherwise, we will be defeated by the evil one in us. If we ever side with man, that's now his only, how can I say this? The evil one's real only weapon is the heart's desire in man to do something good for man. Cure him, heal him, stop oppression, stop poverty, whatever. Once you have that as a part of your being, then you give the evil one sway over your life.
I'm sorry. Say that again.
Once you have helping man as your part of your being, or your program, or your ideas, then
your goal.
Just a purpose. Then what you do is you.
What you can do, not necessarily what you do, is what you're capable of doing. It doesn't make sense. So I can't grasp that. If
your goal is to help man,
if
your aim, your purpose, an idea,
if your notion, if your inclination, if your motivate, I don't know what word to choose, but to help, if you're trying to help somebody,
you've given the evil one
its
way.
So you shouldn't do that?
That's not the point. People will be helped, but it's never your goal.
Okay, how about that? Well, okay.
You can't have a position.
Okay.
This is critical.
Your program.
This part of your ideas of being, if part of your being is to solve this problem,
then you will benefit from it.
Then,
well, not everyone cares about that.
Huh?
Not everyone cares about that, by all appearances. By the way they choose to live, they don't give much of a...
Well, they care about themselves.
Well, they do, but not...
Well, that's man. Either way. Let's go to Galatians real quick.
But it's slippery.
Well, it's not. It's go to Galatians.
So it's either an investment in the outcome of someone else or the investment in your outcome.
That's the first real life of Christ in you.
Galatians chapter... I don't remember. I think chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1, starting verse 6. Are you Gary? Are you there yet, Gary? Are you ready?
Ready.
Starting verse 6. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ. Unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be those, some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Now the perversion of the gospel is always, it always has a part, as a part of its being, the idea of helping men.
This confirms the cross and the gospel.
No, it has to be there as you believe another gospel.
Yeah, but your motivation is to help other people. Where's the cross in that?
Right, there's no cross.
There is no cross. So
okay. But though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so I now say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. So the pleasing of men, the doctrine of something that would please men, is obviously what he's talking about, because it's, you've been called into another gospel, which is not another. It's not the gospel. A little bit.
If your aim is to please men, and if you don't please them, then you will be crushed.
Or help men. Help.
Yeah.
if your purpose in life is any other than the Father, then by definition you will believe another gospel. Now this is revealed in the tests of
Satan. It's okay to help people.
Of course, but not as your purpose. Hear me.
Is there a difference between helping and meeting me, or is this
of course
about conditional versus unconditional love?
Well, that's the point of it. You're not doing it as unto the men, you're doing it as unto God.
So it's an unconditional.
If somebody happens to be helped in what you're doing, somebody happens to believe, but it's never your business. Well, it's really freedom, but from man's standpoint, it'll be bondage.
You mean if you can't?
If you can't have something that gives you life,
yeah,
that gives you purpose, that gives you redemption, we've seen this 1,000 times.
You know, twist it out.
Well, you're bonded by your expectations.
Well, Here, what I'm talking about is the only being that you are involved with the Father.
Amen.
Not my will, but thine. Not my purpose, but thine. Not my ideas, but thine. So that there's never any... there's never any cloud between you and the Father. It's always an empty vessel. But the minute you have as a part of that the idea that, well, my goal in life, my purpose, what I want to do, what I need to do is X, even if it sounds to be wonderful, then you are believing another gospel.
You don't. That's where he said you don't have an investment in the outcome.
Let's look at the temptation. Let's go to, I think, Luke 4. I don't remember.
Well, it is kind of hard to believe that helping someone many times can be, helping people can actually be an idolatry.
Well, it's what I mean.
Anything
is. Anything
can be an idol.
Okay, he was just baptized. Chapter 4, verse 1. And Jesus being full, are we not there yet? Luke 4, verse 1. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. Now, the word, we've talked about this before, but I want to emphasize it. It's all the kingdoms of the world in all of time. That's what that, in a moment of time, he showed all kingdoms from past to future. And you understand, from God's perspective and from eternity standpoint, this looking from the beginning of man to the end of man, he was empowered to change the past. I mean, I you got to hear that, because he could have fixed everything. Well, anybody's plan. Now, listen. And the devil said unto him, All this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that it is delivered unto me. Everything in time and space has been delivered over to Satan. That's why Jesus is Lord of lords and King of kings. He is the God of this world. Now, keep that in mind. And that if therefore thou wilt worship me, all shall be thine. Now, that doesn't mean that Christ would get down on his knees and worship Satan. It means that if he would agree with that, in my opinion, if he would agree that his purpose would be to heal all men, to destroy hunger, to destroy pain and suffering, to destroy depression, or whatever is a benefit to man, then he would have been worshiping Satan. Is this something I said?
Yeah. No, I concur.
This is a biggie. Because why would him, Christ, helping mankind have been worshiping Satan?
As Son of Man, he would be fulfilled in accepting Satan, who we have an image of Satan in his bad, that Satan really is more of a beautiful creature.
But again, why would that, why would helping man be worshiping Satan? Anybody? Because the purpose, at the first, it's not good for man to be alone. So he made for him a helpmeet. That's what everything is about. The only thing that's going on in time and space is the bride. Nothing else. Now, if you're a believer, people will be helped, but that can never be your purpose. Things will be done that apparently benefit man, but that can never be your purpose. This is a slippery slope because it is so subtle. Well, if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of God. That's why there's nothing about the doctrine that we've been delivered into that pleases men. That's why if you're preaching the gospel and living it, you'll be hated of all men, because it's a threat to every form of thought on the face of the earth that has ever been or ever will be. It's a threat to every political system. It's a threat to every financial system. It's a threat to any socioeconomic system. I mean, until this is deepened deep within you, and this becomes that you know it's not a philosophy, then you will be other. You'll be, you know, why am I doing? What is blah, 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 you know. Whatsoever you do in thought, in word, in deed, you do as unto the Lord. Now, that, it's so simple to change that. Whatever you do in thought, word, and deed, you'll do as unto the Lord when you help people. You fix things. Well, that can be quite well. Then why are we investigating religious fraud? We're not really investigating religious fraud. We're just doing what fell in our lap. We're going to continue to do it until we don't do it anymore. I mean, there's nothing important about it from God's standpoint, other than the deception. The only kind of action that Jesus took was overthrowing the money changers' temple, and you know, blah blah blah. But it's not our job isn't to destroy anybody or to destroy any organization. During that deposition, they kept, why have you been trying to destroy Trinity Broadcasting? I said, what are you talking about? I never tried to destroy anything. I just want you to have integrity. I want you to be, whatever you say, that you will be held accountable. But for some reason, they kept going back to that. You're trying to destroy this work of God? Am I trying to destroy anything? Here, if you don't see this, you can quickly get deceived.
This is where that other gospel is.
That's what we just, yeah.
I mean, that's what we're talking about. Where was that?
Galatians 1.
Yeah, so if you preach another gospel,
well, it's the same as it's from God's standpoint, that's the same as the success guys, because it's another gospel.
And is there a response that is suggested?
Do what?
I'm just wondering what the, let me see. I mean, he didn't say stomp those guys in the dirt or anything.
I don't know what you're
I'm
saying.
I'm just trying to, somehow that scripture pertains exactly to what we're talking about. If any preach another gospel.
Well, let's go to 2 Peter and see what it says. Well, let's go to 2 Timothy first. Verse 16, chapter 2, verse 16. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness, and their word will eat as doth a cancer, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Does it say, go destroy them? No, but it names them, it exposes them.
It says to shun them.
Yeah.
You know, when yesterday you were talking about being a bastard. Sometimes Paul's a bastard.
I know.
Yeah.
All right, now go to 2 Peter. Let's see again. Chapter 2. I'm still waiting for Gary. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily or privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and in damnation slumbereth not. Now it goes on and on. I mean, the rest of it sounds like Jude. I mean, it's one of the most unbelievable harshnesses in both Jude and 2 Peter that you've ever heard. Well, let's just finish it. We don't have anything better to do. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that should afterward or after live ungodly, and delivering just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that the righteous man dwelling among them, and seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh, or pursue a course, walk there is pursue a course of action after the flesh, in the lust of uncleanness, and despise governments. Presumptuous are they, self-will. They're not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Whereas angels are greater in power and might, bring not railing accusations against them before the Lord. But these as natural brute beasts made to be taken and destroyed speak evil of the things they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness as they count it pleasure to ride in the daytime. Spots they are and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, a heart they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children, which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Bosor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. Anyway, you could go on and on and on. I mean,
does it ever say do something about it?
Expose it. Mm-hmm. We'll go back to the, no, that's the only thing he says to do about it, is expose it.
Well, let's see where he says that. It says
Paul exposed it. Not just there, in several places.
Okay, well, I'm just looking right here.
No, it's several. There's at least three or four other places where Paul, by name, exposes it.
And I don't have an argument with that. I just looking for
it. No, okay. Anyhow. Right, you don't have an investment in the outcome. That's the whole mystery.
Yeah. It keeps you from being caught up in the investment.
Or having a purpose.
Right. That's not your life.
No, people call me up, whatever, they got all kinds of words in the press and stuff, but I'm not a crusader for anything. Except the cross. It's just something that happened to set before us. I don't know why. Probably Harry's fault.
Good chance.
Anyhow, but please, again, this thing, not my will, not my ideas, not my blah, blah, blah. It's only thy will. And that's only exposed in the moment. It's not exposed. It's not predictable. It's not predicted. Predicted. What's the word? Predictative. Anyway.
Predictable.
Huh?
Predictable?
No. It doesn't have any aspect of this is what you're going to do, this blah, blah, blah. It has to do with what you've got to do with your hand right now. Let's talk, because now prophecy isn't foretelling, is forthtelling.
Makes me think of after the resurrection, Jesus is there, but they don't recognize him.
Right.
They've been with him years, and they don't, and that's appropriate.
Sure. Otherwise, they made it God after the flesh.
Right.
They'd have become, they'd have started worshiping Joel Osteen or something.
Yeah.
Oh, but he don't pick on Joel. He's a nice guy. Did I tell you what happened when one of the producers interviewed him? He knew me. And his question was, and he said it in a whining voice, why doesn't Ole like me?
Just got to know me better.
Anyhow, please let nothing be done through your ideas, what you think is right and good. That's why we're counting the omer. Your best thoughts, your best purposes are as filthy rags. Amen?
Praise help.
Take a big guy. So we're losing Pete,
yeah.
And we're losing Rutledge, Buckner's.